Now, I know that you had... Oh, sorry, this is the word of the Lord. Jill said it was informal, so I skipped past that bit. My apologies. I believe you had an introduction to the Psalms last week. Philip? Is it Philip? Is Philip here? Where's Philip? No, he's not here. He's not here. So I don't want to change anything that Philip said. Obviously, I didn't hear it. But I just want to give my own brief introduction to the Psalms as the first part of the talk this morning. The Psalms, I'm sure you're all aware, is a book of songs and poetry. And the Psalms have struck chords with worshippers of God across the millennium, partly because of the music and partly because of the words. I'm sure we have all missed music. One of the things that I've missed the most over lockdown is not being able to sing as a group of people. Obviously at home I can sing, tell my children, tell me to stop singing because my voice isn't that good. Even my two-year-old tells me, Daddy, be shush. But it was lovely to have a choir this morning. But I long for the day when I can join in again. And it's that communal expression of our faith that we find in the Psalms. And music is central to what it means to be human. Now, I have a bit of a fascination with historic anthropology. So I'm going to take you back in time a little bit. Quite a long way back in time, a very, very long time before any of us existed. There are three flutes that were discovered in the Swabian Jura, or the Swabian Alps in Germany. And these flutes are very significant. Does anyone play the flute? No flautists among us. Any flautists in the choir? One flautist. Now, how old do you think the oldest flute is? Just yes? 2,000? 40,000. 40,000 years old are these flutes. Now, they're probably not as technically advanced as your flute, but they are flutes nonetheless. And what that tells us is the absolute importance of music in the human condition, that for over 40,000 years, humans have been making music. And that's one of the reasons I believe the Psalms resonate so importantly. And over the millennia, Jews and Christians have set the Psalms to music. But what has this got to do with our reading today? Well, the book of 150, some very short, some slightly longer, poems and songs which were written over a 400-year span echo that importance of the shared and the bringing together expression of faith. The Australian singer and songwriter Nick Cave has been a musician for over 40 years. He grew up singing in the choir of Wangaratta Cathedral. He is a contemporary musician. And alongside many other contemporary musicians, they actually point to the importance of the Psalms. Now, I didn't know your personal musical tastes, so I've tried to, you know, delve into the breadth of music here. I don't know who even has heard of Nick Cave. He's a little bit niche, my wife tells me. I think he's great. I'm sure some of you will have heard of U2, and the lead singer Bono talks about the importance of the Psalms in his songwriting. I'm sure more of us have heard of Bob Dylan, and he has even sung some of the Psalms. We don't quite get into the 21st century with this music, but I'm sure some of you might even have heard of Kylie Minogue. Definitely not my music taste, I just want to clear that up. Even she has cited the influence of the Psalms. So here we have four chart-topping individuals who talk about the importance of the Psalms. Now, they're not the oldest collection of songs that we have, but they are, without any doubt, the most influential group of songs from the ancient world. Nick Cave writes this. He said, "Around the age of 20, I started reading the Bible and found in the brutal prose of the Old Testament, in the feel of its words and its imagery, an endless source of inspiration, especially in the series of love songs and poems known as the Psalms. I found the Psalms, which deal directly with the relationship between people and God, teeming with all the clamorous desperation, longing exaltation, violence and brutality that I could hope for. They are soaked in suadé and drenched in janood. What Nick Cave is reminding us is that the Psalms offer an authentic view of the human condition. Quite often it might be we open our Bible and we don't always connect with the words that we find there. Perhaps they're not really expressing what we feel at that time. It might be that we read a letter of St. Paul and we feel that actually what he's writing about doesn't really connect with what we're feeling at the time. Or we read the Gospels and we perhaps feel that Jesus and what he lays out is almost too higher an ideal to reach after. Or we delve into the Old Testament and find it hard to connect with an experience that is so different to ours. But I believe in the Book of Psalms, we find the breadth of our experience of humanity. The Psalms express the honesty of what it means to be human. At times, they are filled with pain. At times, they are filled with joy and everything in between. And this is why, time and again, the Psalms have found their way not just into the Christian worship of all the very many different traditions, but also into the public sphere. Al Green, Stevie Wonder, Leonard Cohen have all had songs in the charts which were based on Psalms. Poetry doesn't always communicate things as they are, but it allows us to express our emotions and events in our lives, from the heights of jubilation to the despair of loss and grief. We find all of this in the Psalms. The Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann groups the Psalms into three different groups. He says there are those Psalms which describe an orientation, a way of understanding our faith, a way of seeing the world around us, which we can build our faith upon. There are those Psalms which describe a sense of disorientation, a time where we perhaps feel a distance from God, and the writer has to reevaluate what they believed and re-understand their faith, because our faith is not something that is static, it's something that is alive, because we are alive and we have a relationship with a God who is alive. And then finally, there are those Psalms which reorientate, where we begin to put together, after that disorientation, our faith once again. And Walter Brueggemann writes that the Psalms in their different groups reflect the ebb and flow of our lives. That probably right now we could fit ourselves and how we're feeling into one of those three points. We might feel very grounded. We might feel perhaps even happy. We may feel we're in a time where there is a great deal of uncertainty. And obviously, I'm not just talking about being in the midst of a pandemic, but in our own personal lives. We may feel we're coming through something that has been particularly difficult. Brueggemann writes this: the Psalms do not have a neutral form, but have a distinctly Jewish shape, the shape of active, protesting suffering, the shape of defiant, resilient hope. We are always hurrying to catch up with the daring faith of the Psalter, and I am still underway with these matters, and am grateful for the chance I have to stand regularly before them, the text, and before God who meets us within them. Personally, I read a psalm every day. It's the one bit of the Bible that I can guarantee I will always read, because I find it is the one bit of the Bible which always meets me where I'm at. And even if I read something that doesn't resonate with what I'm feeling at that point, it reflects something which I know is either in the experience of someone else or in the experience of my life at a different time. If you don't regularly read the Psalms, and as you're setting out on a church, on a journey through the Psalms together, I would encourage you this week to read a psalm a day. If you're not sure where to start, either start at number one, which is always a good place. I'd avoid 119, it's very long. Start as we are today with 130 and just read the next seven psalms, one each day. Over the last 17 months, there has been a great deal of change for all of us. And this has certainly disorientated many of us. And this brings us to Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord, writes the psalmist. I'm sure we have all felt at some point over the last 17 months as if we are in the depths, and perhaps that God has almost seemed distant. That we are calling to God from a place where he doesn't necessarily seem to be. And in this short verse, we have encapsulated the beauty of the Psalms. They don't portray a pious religiosity, but an honesty, a despair, a feeling distant from God. They remind us that it is okay to feel that. That here in Scripture, we have a reminder that at times we will feel distant from God. In fact, I would go as far to say that faith requires distance. The Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard wrote about the centrality of faith in belief. Belief and faith are not certainty. If they were certainty, it would be something else. It wouldn't be faith. And our faith requires a step. It requires a distance. That our certainty might get us so far, and we will all have our own reasons for believing in God. There will be things that we come back to that we can feel we are certain about. But there will always be that gap between certainty and faith. What requires us, as Kierkegaard writes, to make that leap of faith. And biblical characters were open to this as well. Even Jesus' disciples questioned how things were. Jesus reprimanded them for not understanding. And I always find that very reassuring, that the men who spent 3 years of their life with Jesus on earth got things wrong. So I feel if they got it wrong, it gives us a little bit of leeway to perhaps question and feel a little bit different, because we don't have Jesus on earth with us. We have the Holy Spirit, but it's slightly different to having someone physically present. And not just Jesus' disciples, but others as well. In the Old Testament, the prophets crying out from a place of doubt. And here we have it in this psalm. Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. And then the second verse is a plea. Hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. And that takes us right back to the start of the Bible, to the Exodus, and forward to the exile in Babylon. That in this psalm, it's expressing the breadth of the Old Testament. That it's a reminder that God does hear our cry when we're in the depths. That here, the Jewish writer, writing for his Jewish audience, was reminding the hearers that God hears us. That in the Exodus, God stepped down and moved his people to the promised land. And this is something Jesus, time and again throughout his ministry, reminded his listeners. That the ruler of the universe reaches out to those in need. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinner, Jesus told his listeners in Mark's gospel. And he tells us today. So whether we feel that distance or not, what we see time and again in the Bible is that it's okay to feel that we are in the depths. Verse 3 begins to move us forward from that point of disorientation, and we possibly begin to understand why the psalmist was feeling that. If you, Lord, should mark our iniquities, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I am sure that St. Paul had this psalm in mind when he was writing his first letter to the Corinthians, and he wrote about love. He wrote in chapter 13 that love keeps no record of wrongs. If you, Lord, should mark our iniquities, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you. This is the heart of our faith, that we know we are forgiven. And it's only from that that our service and our commitment to God then flows. That's the starting point, that we are forgiven. And it is a reassurance. Yet this psalm is not one which is a psalm of orientation. It's a psalm of disorientation. It's saying that the reality of our faith is that sometimes we need to remind ourselves of those basic, important parts of the Christian faith, because they can feel a little bit more distant. The psalmist is crying out to the depths and needs to remind themselves that there is forgiveness with God, because in the depths, it doesn't feel that forgiveness is close by. And then we're reminded why this psalm is one where there is that epistemic distance between God and humans. Because the psalmist writes in verses 5 and 6, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. There is hope, but we wait. And at times when we're in that place of waiting, it can feel like we are in the depths, that perhaps God isn't as close as he has seemed at other times. Now, with our intellectual mind, we know that the Bible tells us that actually God never changes his distance from us. But actually, what we're seeing here in the Psalms is that whilst God doesn't change, we do. And at times we may feel that God is more distant. At times we may feel we're in the depths. And this psalm reminds us that that is okay. And more than that, that is okay, that we should cry out to God and tell him that that's how we are feeling. That this is what we have in the psalm. A psalmist writing to God that they feel that distance. And the waiting in Hebrew, now my Hebrew is not very good. I mean, I only just passed Greek at university. I didn't even do Hebrew on recommendation of my tutor. He said, Charlie, languages are not your strength. The pupils at school often say, sir, if you were to teach a different subject, what would you teach? I don't know what I would teach, but I know I definitely would not teach languages. But in Hebrew, the books I've read reassure me that waiting and hope in Hebrew are synonymous. That actually to have hope means to wait. And if we're waiting for something, it's not quite there yet. There's a distance. If we're waiting for someone, now that we can go and visit each other again, if we're waiting for someone to come and visit us, they haven't arrived yet. But we hope that they do. And this psalm acknowledges that. And this is again why I think St. Paul may have had this in mind in 1 Corinthians 13, because he writes, faith, hope, and love abide. That hope reminds us that there is a distance. Not that God is far away, but at times in faith, there is a distance. We feel that distance, whether it's through personal pain or whether it is through a flow of faith we are going through. In the last lockdown, as a family, we went through quite a difficult time. My mother, who lives in Somerset, was rushed into hospital. A very close friend of mine became profoundly ill and lost his memory of the last 2 years, and the doctors weren't quite sure what was going on. And that was particularly disturbing because we both live at St. John's, and that I began to realise that I knew more about his life than he did over the last 2 years, which is a very disorientating experience. And then a close friend of my wife suddenly and tragically died. All these three events in the space of a month. Now, it wasn't that I suddenly felt God had abandoned us in any way, but there was certainly a distance. And I could certainly resonate with that early part of this psalm, that from the depths I was crying out to God. The psalms didn't bring a sudden profound change. They didn't change the way things were, but they brought solace. They reminded me that what I was going through, the pain that I was feeling, I wasn't alone, that I wasn't the only one, and that throughout history, in their faith, people had gone through the same things, and that God promises to hear us when we cry from the depths. The Psalms remind us that pain and hurt are part of our human experience, and that these need to be expressed to God in words. And the great thing is, when we don't have our own words, we have the Psalms. God is in the midst of us, sharing our suffering, whether we can find the words to express it to God or not. And my hope for you is that you can find in the words of the psalm the ebb and flow of our faith. Now, I would like to do something which I'm fairly certain my tutor at theological college would probably renounce my ordination over. I'm going to adapt the Bible here from the Hebrew, but I've already pointed out to you my Hebrew is very bad. So I'm going on that. So if any of you know Philip Jensen, A, I'd be surprised. Or if he's watching online, Philip, I'm terribly sorry. What I've done is I've retranslated from the Hebrew the last two verses of the psalm. Guys, is there any chance of having it on the screen, if that's possible? And what I want to do in this is I want to remind you of how just the last two verses, I think it was on the second slide, remind us of how the Psalms can fit in with our expression. So we have just the next two from verse 7. So this is my bad translation. And you'll see what I've done with the Hebrew here. O people of St. Andrews, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem us from all our iniquities. O people of St. Andrews, hope in the Lord. Amen.